This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Hello, food snobs. If you've disdained traditional Irish fare as a bowl of stew that's like a greasy way station between a pint of Guinness and an after-dinner whiskey, listen. Armed with succulent oysters, briny mussels, and gently simmered sea spinach, Irish chefs have made a revolution. Even the French are embarking on culinary tours of Ireland for such delicacies as Irish cheese. Frank Browning visited an Irish cheese barn and reports on one couple's devotion to each other, to philosophy, and to food, specifically cheese.
My name is Veronica Steele. I hail from Dublin City, which explains my beauty.
Known as the Queen of Irish Cheese, Veronica had her hands and forearms deep in rubber gloves, a sanitary net on her hair, and sturdy wallabies on her feet, setting up the day's cheese run. Her cheese, called Malines, after the modest hamlet where she and her husband Norman live, is widely praised as not only the oldest, but the finest quality cheese in Ireland. It's a simple story, she says.
Landed up here in the 60s, a young postgrad in philosophy. I fell in love with Norman and haven't really budged since, as like a rock. Came to rest.
Now, you fell in love with a Britisher.
It happens. It does happen. Yes.
Their love affair began with Ludwig Wittgenstein, the Austrian philosopher. Norman was 24, finishing his doctorate, living in a barely converted hillside pigsty, and had been invited to give a lecture at University College Cork.
I was rather dismayed to find that half the audience were wearing nuns' habits and the other half were priests, all except for one, which was Veronica.
To come across Wittgenstein being lectured on enthusiastically was, woo, yes, excellent. Who needs a university when you've someone who really understands the questions? So I guess for the past 30 years one has been pursuing the meaning of life. Maybe finding some answers.
The spring morning I arrived at their handmade hillside redoubt on Wickish Mountain, Veronica was out in the cheese barn, all spick and span and sanitary, and strictly respectful of European Union health standards. From between the barn and their house, you can see out across a sliver of the Curlick Bay to the ridge tops of the Ring of Kerry. Roosters prattle about, and Norman points to the scruffy green fields where he started keeping cows 3 decades ago.
It's a particularly good place to produce milk because the cows are eating interesting grasses, and when they come back from the meadows to be milked in the evening, they're always going along to the hedgerows and saying, that looks nice, I'll have a bit of that. And they really do pick out what they want. And then if you get interesting milk because they've got an interesting diet, you've got a damn good start for making some really good cheese.
We step inside the echoey cheese barn to find Veronica.
Come inside here. Veronica's just making cheese now.
I'm about to add rennet to this tank of milk, which contains about 230 gallons of milk. That's a fair quantity. It has been pasteurized this morning. Next, I added starters. They're bacteria which will dominate the culture of the milk. Good, healthy boys. In a few moments, I shall add rennet and then allow the entire business to settle, coagulate, which will take approximately 1 hour of silence and gentility.
In the room next door, rounds of soft cheese rest on stainless steel racks, quietly growing a soft, white, fuzzy mold.
These cheeses were made the day before yesterday. They were salted yesterday. Yesterday I was away at a funeral, which is a great event in Ireland. But I'm recovered now. It was a most excellent funeral. So there is the cheese which was salted yesterday by a French apprentice. You have to have a French apprentice in order to be fashionable.
Takes about a week to go from cow to sales shelf, and the product is a firm but creamy orange-rinded cheese, full of fragrance. A cousin, you could say, to a French Pont l'Evêque or a Port-au-Salut. From the beginning, doing philosophy and making cheese were, for Norman and Veronica, kindred activities. each a mission of figuring out what makes a good life. Discovering the freshness of spring water, or relishing pork from free-wandering pigs. But in the 1960s, the only way to get good, affordable cheese in Ireland was to make it.
All the good quality cheddar was exported, and what we had in Ireland was the cheese which wasn't fit for export, which would be processed. You know those slices that you have in a burger? That's processed cheese. Sort of plasticky stuff.
So now you start making these things of your own experience, which are really pretty sophisticated, what we might call stinky smelly cheese. And did anybody want to buy that kind of cheese around here?
I imagine I could have stood on a street corner and given it away free and there would have been no punters. However, serendipity.
Serendipity was a local restaurateur who dropped in to buy fresh vegetables from Norman's garden. Verona gave her a round of cheese, just as a personal gift. But the restaurateur liked it so much, she put it on the cheese tray.
This was the very first soft cheese we'd ever made.
As it happened, the owners of Ballymaloe House, the temple of Irish fine cuisine, came into the restaurant that evening.
And they were very excited by this first ever Irish soft cheese. And a Michelin star restaurant called the Arbutus Lodge in Cork, the owner of that happened to be dining there as well. So the first people to eat Malines happened to be the leading lights of Irish cuisine, and we were away on a hack.
Following their trail, another 45 or so independent cheesemakers have sprung up, shipping their aromatic wares all over Europe. Germany, Denmark, Holland, Spain, Italy, Britain, even France, and now increasingly into American cities like Boston, New York, and San Francisco. As for philosophy, Norman still writes the occasional article, for which he says the cheese barn provides better stimulation than any stuffy library. For Day to Day, I'm Frank Browning.